Once again, a hearty welcome to all our participants. We are on the fourth day of our journey of self-discovery. Just a short recap from yesterday. What was the topic? One God or many gods. So, is there one God or are there many, many gods? Okay. So, we began our discussion by understanding the two definitions of God. The first one, which we had taken the day before, the definition of God, how He is the supreme creator, supreme controller, supreme proprietor, and supreme enjoyer. And what was the second definition which we took yesterday? Bhagavan. The meaning, the literal meaning of this word, Bhagavan. Van means one who possesses, and Bhag means opulences. And we discussed the six opulences. Can we name them? He should be all wealthy, all powerful, all famous, all beautiful, all knowledgeable, and completely renounced. So these are the six opulences which Bhagavan should be possessing. And then we understood there are these 33 crores of demigods, devatas, and the salient differences between Krishna and these devatas. They are simply posts which they hold on behalf of Krishna to manage the cosmic universal affairs. So, in conclusion, we understood that Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as established by the Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, these revealed scriptures. So the next question is, okay, if there is one God and I am part and parcel of that Supreme God, then how do I realize myself? Because self-realization begins with realization of one's own self, and then one's own self in connection with the super self, which is God. So, Atma and Paramatma. So, Atma Sakshatkar ka arth hai, pehle hum, hamari jo Atma hai, uska Sakshatkar karein. Realize our own self. So, before that, the question is, wait a minute, you're talking about this Atma, should I buy that? Should I believe in all that Atma stuff? So we'll begin with that today. The questions again which crops up. We have two questions to deal with. Who am I? Science of soul. And is there life after death? Also essentially the science of reincarnation. Now, the first question, who am I, might sound little silly to some of you. What kind of question is this, who am I? Okay, let's try to find out the answer, whether it's quite simple or is it something serious. So, if I ask you, our August assembly in the month of September, that how would you identify yourself? How would you introduce yourself? Let's begin with that. So, okay, let's begin. Ma'am is saying? Okay. So, I will introduce myself by my name first. Now, is it not our psychology that we give our introduction in connection with things which are permanent? Let's take name now. So if someone has a certain name, if I ask you, is that permanent or can it be changed? Names can be changed? Okay. You know my name? Might be a tongue twister. Huh? One person in flight, you know, when he asked my name and I told my name, he said, "Is it a word or a sentence?" So now when I joined ISKCON, I was initiated into the spiritual name, Shikshashtakam Das. So before this, this was not my name. When I was working for the Indian Air Force and my birth certificate and my passport, legally my name is something else, Sharad. That's short and sweet. Okay. So, now my name has changed. So, my identity has changed. What do you say? Now, I'll tell you, I was in the Air Force Tennis League playing lawn tennis for the Air Force. And one of my close friends, he was in the basketball league. He was playing basketball for the Air Force. So, now his legal name, childhood name, was very nice. I loved that name. His name was Shyam. You all know? Shyam is one of the names of Krishna. So, such a sweet name. I still love that name so much, Shyam. But somehow he didn't like it. And you know, these basketball players, they have to have their names on their jersey when they're playing tournaments like that. So you know, Shyam, for him, you would say, it appears to be too traditional, spiritual, primitive. So he legally changed his name. From Shyam, he became Sam. Like, you know, you have Hari becomes Harry Potter. So, herein, if I introduce myself with a name, I am not so sure whether that's my permanent introduction, because my name can be changed. So, what else do we introduce ourselves with? Okay, name. Okay, surname, still it's the same thing, name. Profession, okay, let's take, I introduce myself, I was earlier a fighter pilot. Now, no fighting, no flying. So my profession has changed, which means even my introduction in regards to my profession can be changed. What else can we introduce ourselves? Nationality. Mera Bharat Mahan, as long as I don't get the green card. Nationality. Can that be changed? Yes, very much. Just go abroad and you see, practically the West is taken over by the glorious Indians. So, what do they call? NRI. Non-resident Indians. Oh. And then many times we have, you know, there is another term called RNIs, resident non-Indians. They are staying in India, but very much westernized. So, yeah. So that introduction can be changed. My introduction in regards to my nationality can be changed. What else is my introduction? Sorry? Community and religion. Let's take religion. Religion also can be changed. You know, people in India, you have these names. They get converted into, say, Christianity. So they have these names. Jonathan Pawar. Joseph Kamble. Yeah, there are these names. So, you know, that also can be changed. Your identification pertaining to a certain religion can be changed. Can I ask you a bold question? How about the gender? Thanks or no thanks to science nowadays. It did happen. One of our ISKCON temples in America. So there was this lady who was coming for the programs, you know, every Sunday. We have every Sunday love feast programs. So she was coming for these Sunday programs. And all of a sudden, for a while, she stopped coming. And then after a year, he came. So the devotees were confused now how to address this person. He, she, or it. And then whatever this person wanted to join the Brahmachari ashram, that was too much then. So, you know, all of these identifications, whether it is our name, occupation, nationality, even gender, all of this appears to be temporary in nature. Am I right? It appears to be temporary in nature. So if I ask you, what is your permanent address, you won't say this particular cream colored chair right now. No, this is not your permanent address. You will give your permanent address wherever you are staying, you know, the permanent address. That will be how you will introduce as, you know, in regards to the permanent address of yours. So our human psychology is that we are always looking for things which are permanent. We want a permanent job, permanent spouse, permanent whatever. But when it comes to our introduction, how many times have we thought, is my introduction in regards to whatever we discuss, is that permanent? No, it's changeable. So which means, it is still on the temporal platform. So what is my real introduction? So the Bhagavad Gita then explains that our real introduction is not this temporary body, but eternal soul. You know this word eternal? Ever existing, which has no beginning, no end. So when we talk about eternality, we are talking about something which is permanent, which is not changeable. So this is our real introduction. We are not this temporary body, we are eternal spirit soul. Now generally in this material world, when we interact with people, we very spontaneously refer to our bodies. That's how we communicate. Like we ask someone, how is every body at your home? What do you say? Every body. So we are asking about what? The body. You know, imagine now, after this session, you ask someone the same question. अभी आपको समझ में आ गया कि हम शरीर नहीं, हम आत्मा हैं। तो अभी आप यही प्रश्न जाके पूछो, घर के सब आत्मा कैसे? हाँ, सारे आत्मा सुख से शांति से सोए हुए हैं। तो आप बोलो, भगवान से मेरी यही प्रार्थना है, उनकी आत्मा को शांति मिले। So how much we are used to addressing to this material body. So over here, the Bhagavad Gita establishes, this is the premise, the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, the basic elementary fundamental knowledge which begins the Bhagavad Gita is, we are not this material temporary body, but we are eternal spirit soul, part and parcel of the supreme soul, which is Krishna. So again, now, like the other day, we started with, what is the proof? Sabut kya hai? புத்தி காம இருக்கும். So what is the proof for the existence of soul? So we'll go one by one, different kinds of proof. Beginning with using common sense, sometimes which is not so common. Common sense. Now, what do you see over here? What's happening? What's happening over here? Someone has died and people are lamenting, people are crying. So, generally when somebody dies in a family and the family members, they lament, they cry for the death of the family member, what are the statements which they use, you know, in their lamentation? Okay. How about saying, you know, that why my husband passed away? Why my husband has left me? Why my wife has left me? Why my father has left me? We say like that, no? That he has passed away. Passed away. Money chode chalo gayo. Maybe in Gujarati they may say like that. Maza navra sodun gela. Maji baiko sodun geli. Again, Marathi. So, any language, the thing is the same. Passed away. Now, the question is, if you really go into the literal meaning of that statement, well, who has passed away? The body is still there. Who has passed away? Whom are we referring to when we say that person has passed away when that person dies? Whom are we referring to? Like one of my colleagues from Bombay, he was telling me that in his family there was this, their uncle and auntie, for the past 50 years married, and they were like the role models. You know, it was a big accomplishment. Husband and wife staying together happily 50 years. Big accomplishment. So they were like the role models in the entire khandan. Dekho, shadi shuda yadi jina hai, inki tarah jina chahiye. So that uncle and aunt. Everything, you know, they were always staying together, did everything together. So much of affection, love, like that. And then the uncle passed away. The husband passed away. And the children were all scattered, some parts in India, some were abroad. So they all were called for the funeral. And it was taking a while for them to reach. It was in Bangalore. Taking a while for them to reach Bangalore. And the doctors just suggested that maybe if you are performing the funeral the next day, somebody should be with the dead body. That's how they started addressing now. Somebody should be with the dead body. So everyone thought, who would be? The wife. Auntie. Because for the past 75 years, you know, they were like together. And now, definitely, it should be the wife who would be staying just for a night along with now. Who? They were addressing it not the uncle or the father or brother or whatever, the dead body. Immediately the identification changed. Dead body now. And this wife who had lived for so many decades, she couldn't stay in that same room even for 5 minutes. It was very scary for her. So she said, or then the question was asked, that what was that in her husband that made her associate with the husband for so many decades, and what was that in her husband that had gone now, that even 5 minutes she was not willing to stay with the same person? What was that? What made the difference? The same body, everything. Who has passed away? Again. So herein, just using some common sense, we are inching ahead in trying to understand the existence of soul. Any clarifications? Okay. Then, there is another thing called the intuitive understanding. And in this, again, might sound a little silly again, that when I show my hand, or if anyone shows his hand, how does he say, this is my hand, this is my face, this is my body, these are my legs, etc., etc. Now, when I say for example, this is my shirt. So what does that mean when I say this is my shirt? It belongs to me. Which means I am different from this shirt. Would you agree? I am the owner of this shirt. When I say this is my shirt, it means I am the owner of this shirt and this shirt is different from me. And who is that me? So similarly, if I say that I am the owner of this shirt and this shirt is different from me, when I say this is my hand, this hand is different from me. Otherwise, I would have said I hand, I body, I eyes, I legs. Again, how do we say? In fact, sometimes the connection is so strong, wo bolte na, iske ragon mein bhi mera hi khoon hai. Mera hi khoon. Khandani khoon. Like that. I had a friend of mine who was kind of a shire. And he was once, we had a party after our tournament. And he was, I don't know whether he composed or it was someone else's composition, but he was speaking about that. About Ghalib, Mirza Ghalib. That how once Mirza Ghalib was bitten by a mosquito. So Mirza Ghalib was a big shair. So even anything happened in the life of Mirza Ghalib would immediately compose a shairi. So Mirza Ghalib ko machhar ne kaata. So Mirza Ghalib ne sher farmaya. Mirza Ghalib bolte hain, machhar ne mujhe kaata, ye machhar ka junoon tha. मच्छर ने मुझे काटा ये मच्छर का जुनून था मैंने उसे खुजाया मेरा सुकून था इट्स नॉट फिनिश्ड मच्छर ने मुझे काटा मच्छर का जुनून था मैंने उसे खुजाया मेरा सुकून था चाहकर भी मैंने उसे नहीं मारा क्योंकि कमबख्त साले उसके रगों में मेरा ही खून था सो You know, when it comes to what belongs to me, even if a mosquito takes away some portion, some sample of your blood, uske saale ke ragon mein mera hi khoon hai, kyun maro usko? So, here in the intuitive understanding is when we say that this is my body, these are my limbs, which means they are different. I own it. So if I'm owning it, who am I? We are coming back to our first question. So with this intuitive understanding also, we are going ahead trying to understand. Then if that is the soul, then let me try to explore it. Further, the symptom of soul is again mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita and our Upanishads. Consciousness. Just like all of you, for the past 3 days and today is our fourth day, you are all conscious of what's happening whenever you come. Or for that matter, whatever you do all through the day in your life, up until now, you are all conscious. Now consciousness, how is it determined? It's not something very gross that you can show. This is my consciousness. Here it is. You can't take out the grey matter and say that from your brain and say that there is consciousness over here. There. Consciousness is determined by three things. Thinking, feeling, willing. Now right now, if I ask you, are you all thinking something in your mind? Definitely. I might not know what you are thinking, but you are definitely thinking something. Some thought process is going on. Kya bol raha hai? Pata nahi, samajh mein nahi aa raha hai. मन में कुछ बोल रहे होंगे आप ऐसे, पता नहीं कितना बोलेगा आज भी. सो माइंड इज कॉन्स्टेंटली थिंकिंग ऑफ सो मेनी थिंग्स. सो थिंकिंग नाउ, हाउ विल यू प्रूव टू मी दैट यू हैव अ माइंड? यू ऑल हैव अ माइंड, हाउ विल यू प्रूव इट टू मी? चलो प्रूव करो. Which means you are conscious, you are thinking, you are understanding, you are feeling, you know, all these things. There is consciousness in you. So consciousness is the symptom of the soul. Now what happens to a dead body? Imagine I give a 6-session course in a crematorium, kabristan mein jaake, dead body or mortuary. So imagine if a dead body is sitting next to you. ने डेड बॉडी आपके बगल में रख दिया है, एंड यू नो ऑल ऑफ यू आर फीलिंग, यू नो देयर इज सम ह्यूमर समटाइम्स इन बिटवीन, सो यू लाफ. इमेजिन डेड बॉडी भी हंसने लग जाए बगल में, पीछे से आपको पैट करा, अच्छा जोक बोला. पंखे बहुत चल रहे हैं ना, लाइक दैट द डेड बॉडी स्टार्ट्स टॉकिंग टू यू, इट विल बी स्केरी. So what determines again the difference between a living person and a dead body, of course, is the consciousness. Just like you are all conscious of what is being spoken, you can think about it, you can rethink about it, you feel what is being spoken. So there are these emotions, feelings within us, which is the symptom of the soul. Like herein we have a sunset scene, and the sunset scene is seen by a camera, just like we have this camera in front. So now imagine, you know, I crack a joke and the camera goes up and down haste hue. Will you experience that camera going like that? So the camera is recording as it is, but the camera doesn't have the emotions. So herein, you know, this particular camera is looking at the sunset, and it simply, I see red light, I see red light. Like a computer, you know, you program a computer. You program a computer. Computer, you are a nonsense. Repeat. So computer, what computer will repeat? You are a nonsense. If you feed into the computer, I am a nonsense, computer will say, I am a nonsense. Try that with your family member or your neighbor or your friend like that. Why? Nonsense. Achha. And what are you? Immediately. Because he has emotions and feelings. So, herein, when we are talking about a machine, even a robot, which might have all the external faculties, as they say, the artificial intelligence and everything. But when it comes to consciousness, feelings and emotions, we have to have the soul inside. So, when we look into the human relationships, they are all about what? About the consciousness. Like, you know, there was a taxi driver. And this taxi driver, a passenger came and sat once. And this passenger was having, you know, a burger in his hand. So he told to the taxi driver a certain destination where he wanted to go. The taxi driver started driving. So as now this passenger sitting in the back seat was having his burger, his mouth was filled with that, he couldn't speak. So he just patted on the shoulder of the taxi driver, turned left, you know, to indicate him, because he couldn't speak. The taxi driver, you know, as soon as, you know, he experienced the patting on his left shoulder, you know, he rammed the entire taxi into a tree. But fortunately, they both survived. And the passenger asked, what happened? Yeah, I just tapped on your shoulder. Why you rammed into this tree? The taxi driver said, sir, see, I started driving this particular taxi only 3 days ago.
And before that, I was driving for 25 years a funeral van. So I was used to what? Only driving dead bodies. And then when, you know, you patted from behind, you know, all those. So what we expect, that when there is no consciousness, then there is no activity, no emotions, things like that. Like herein, a human being looks at a beautiful rose. So when a human being looks at a beautiful rose, the human being is, you know, reminded of so many things. Valentine's Day. Like there was a boy on the Valentine's Day, he decided that I will do something different from the regulars. I will, not a red rose, I will, on Valentine's Day, I will offer, you know, a lotus flower. Not a rose flower, I'll offer a lotus flower to my girlfriend. So it took him a long time to find a lotus flower. Finally, he got a lotus flower. Wanted to give the surprise on the Valentine's Day. Here, proposing with a lotus flower. So when the girl received the lotus flower, she slapped him. Tight slap. What the hell? And she said, tit for tat. What do you mean tit for tat? I gave you, you know, something so special and unique. You should have given me another something special, unique flower. Tit for tat. You gave me lotus flower. You gave me Bharati Janata Party. I gave you Congress. So herein, when we are dealing with human beings, we are dealing with what? We are dealing with their emotions. We are dealing with their feelings. So consciousness, which is the symptom of soul, is determined by thinking, feeling and willing. And it is something which is metaphysical, as they say. It is not something which is gross. It is not something which is tangible, which you can perceive with your given senses. But it is something which is experienced. So consciousness is the symptom of soul, which is another way of trying to understand the presence of soul within this material body. Now, let's go into something scientific. So herein, we are not taking the Bhagavad Gita into account, but science now. Now there are these scientists and some of the super specialists in the field of medicine who are doing these researches, like beginning with the near-death experiences. And we have this gentleman, Mr. Michael Sebaum, who is a professor in America, Emory School of Medical Sciences over there. He's a cardiologist. And this was some decades ago, he came up with this near-death experiences. And there were these cases wherein, when he was operating on certain patients, the patients were clinically dead. Everything, you know, the ECG, EMG, everything was all nothing happening. So he was clinically dead. So he was totally under anesthesia. So there was this one person whom Michael Sebaum was operating. And this person, after the operation, reported to Michael Sebaum everything about what he saw on the terrace of that hospital. So he is explaining that I went on the terrace of the hospital, and the terrace of the hospital, on the left hand side, there were a pair of torn Nike shoes. In front of me, there was an old oak tree, and all of these spooky things, you know, he was speaking. So then this Dr. Michael Sebaum, he started to investigate into, and he found out for the past 1 year they had not opened the terrace. The terrace was locked for the past 1 year. So how on earth this person was clinically dead and I was operating, he could go on the terrace, he checked out, and exactly the description which this patient gave of the terrace of that hospital was matching. On the left hand side there was, you know, the pair of Nike shoes. On the right hand side there was a water tank, and in front there was an oak tree and all of that. So then this Dr. Michael Sabam, he started to investigate further, and this term was given near-death experiences, or another term which is given is out-of-body experiences, wherein there is the person who comes out of the body and sees his own or her own body, maybe when some operation is being taken place. One of our sannyasis, ISKCON sannyasis, he was operated, you know, something on his colon, and total anesthesia. And after the operation, he started to chastise the surgeons. There were two surgeons who were operating, and he said, "You know, what the hell? While you are operating, you are discussing about golf." So, you know, when they were operating, they were discussing about that day's golf which they had played. And by mistake, you know, they cut the wrong nerve and they had to redo it. So they were surprised that how come he was under total anesthesia and he could know that what we were discussing while we were performing the operation on him. So this was another case of out-of-body experiences, wherein there is someone who goes out of body and experiences the body. So with this also, they are coming to the conclusion that what the Eastern philosophy talks about, the soul, the Atma, which is different from the material body, this might be one of the reasons why people experience near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences. Then, there is another study which is going on, past life memories. And this lady, Mrs. Satwant Pasricha, she is from India, living in Bangalore. I personally met her, this was many years ago, some 6-7 years ago, when I had gone to Bangalore. She is a professor of psychiatry over there, National Institute of Mental Health and Neurosciences, NIMHAMS, in Bangalore. So I met her personally, and she is student of this Dr. Ian Stevenson, who has come out with more than 2000 cases of past life memories. Now, he is not a follower of Bhagavad Gita. He has not attended these sessions. This is Dr. Ian Stevenson from America. He is also a professor in the University of West Virginia in there, America. So, he has his student, this Satwant Pasricha, in India. And in India, this Satwant Pasricha, along with the team of Dr. Ian Stevenson, they have investigated into more than 400 cases of people remembering their past life. So, past life memory means that the bodies have changed, but they remember exact location, what they were, where they were, and even the language from their previous life. Now, we are not talking about some Bollywood stuff. We are not talking about, you know, some fictional TV series or like that. We are talking about some facts which has been investigated by these people from the scientific community. And I'll tell you something very interesting, that one of my colleagues from Bombay, he was giving the same session, life after death, and he was speaking about past life memories. He was giving this seminar in Ruparel College in Bombay, and suddenly one student from that Ruparel College was sitting in the audience. He raised his hand in the middle when this particular slide was shown. He raised his hand and he said, "My dear sir, I am one of the case studies of Ian Stevenson." I hope we don't have anyone over here. So he said, "I am one of the case studies," and he brought paper clippings, and yes, he was one of the case studies registered in that book of Ian Stevenson and Satwant Pasricha, this lady along with her team. So he narrated his story. Very interesting story. Exciting. You want to hear? He's still in Bombay. You know, we have his, the colleague has his contacts, and he had called him for one of these six session courses to narrate his story, you know, from the horse's mouth, as they say. His name is Deep Kapadia and he lives in Borivali, born there in Borivali. When he was 3 years old, only 3 years old, he started to speak a different language. He started to speak about a different place in India, Udaipur. Now, Udaipur is in Rajasthan, all of you know. So, he was 3 years old, this Deep Kapadia, and he was speaking about this Udaipur, and the parents were totally confused. 3 saal ka chota bacha, kya baat kar raha hai, kaunsi bhasha bol raha hai. So, then they referred, you know, to some psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist, he kind of sensed that this might be case of past life memory, so referred to this Satvant Pasricha. And then they, with along the team, they came to investigate. So what they decided, that they will take this Deep Kapadia, 3 year old, to Udaipur without telling him that we are taking you to Udaipur. So they took him, and as soon as the precincts of the city of Udaipur, he started to tell them that where to go. 3 year old. He started to tell all of these, the entire team, this particular lane, this market, this turn, you know, that particular roundabout, everything. And they were just following his orders. So he was the security officer of one museum, a palace, which was turned into a museum. Earlier it was a palace. So he was a security officer in his previous life, as he was narrating about himself. And he was murdered. Huh? Interesting. So he was murdered, and he took the entire team to that museum where he was murdered. And in fact, there was this Tangawala whom he knew from the previous life, and he started speaking to the Tangawala. Ramu, kaise hai? Ramu? The Ramu is looking. Tumko mera naam kaise maloom? अरे मैं वही सिक्योरिटी ऑफिसर यहाँ का. सो द रामू वॉज कन्फ्यूज्ड एंड देन ही टुक देम इन टू दिस म्यूजियम एंड ही न्यू ऑल द कीज टू ऑल द डिफरेंट सीक्रेट डोर्स ऑफ दैट म्यूजियम एंड यू नो द अर्लियर पैलेस एंड ही वॉज टेकिंग द एंटायर टीम इन टू अ सीक्रेट प्लेस एंड देर वॉज अ पेंटिंग एंड ही टोल्ड अनस्क्रू दैट देर इज अ सीक्रेट डोर बिहाइंड दिस पेंटिंग. So they did that, they removed the painting and there was a secret door. He took everyone into the secret door and there was a kerosene fan, you know, British time there were fans which would run on kerosene. So there was an old antique fan which would run on kerosene and he knew, he called for some kerosene and then he made it run. He said that this was something which I always wanted to be displayed in the museum, but they never did that. Everyone was like surprised, he knows everything. Which key belonged to which particular room in that museum, he knew exactly. And then the most surprising part was, he said, now come to my house. So the house, which means the previous life's house, was next to this museum. So he took everyone and then now his grown up son, you know, son was grown up. So he is 3 year old and is looking at his son, beta. And beta? Kaun beta? Kiska beta? And he was a little perturbed that what's happening, you know, what kind of conspiracy is happening over here. Main pita tumhara, pita. Like that. So they explained that, you know, he's remembering all of this and he claims that he's your father from the previous life. So he didn't believe at that point of time. And he said, okay, if he is claiming to be my father, then let him tell me that where my father used to keep his rifle. Because only me and my father knew where he used to keep his rifle at home. So as soon as the son spoke like that, this little Deep Kapadia, he ran upstairs. He knew everything about that house. He ran upstairs. There was a closet. He asked, open this closet. And inside the closet, there was a painting. And behind the painting, he asked, pull out the rifle. It's behind the painting. And it was. This is a real story. I am not cooking up. You can meet Deep Kapadia. So this is one of the case studies from this Bombay, which is registered in the books of Dr. Ian Stevenson, investigated by the team of Mrs. Satwanta Pasricha. Now, your question is that even when I met Mrs. Pasricha, she asked me the same question. I told her that, you know, I always wanted to meet you, but I've been quoting you. And she was like, what? You quote me? And she was a little taken aback. So, she asked me this question that since you are into, you know, practicing Bhagavad Gita and all that, so her question was that why only few people remember this question? Why not everyone remembers? Now, our Vedas explain about that. Like for example, if I ask you that, do you remember your favorite teacher from your school? How many of you can remember? Raise your hands. Your favorite teacher. Do you remember the peon of your school? What was his name? Okay. Not everyone now. Okay. Do you remember all the different, you know, your classmates, where they would sit, what were their roll numbers and all that? You remember your roll number? Maybe a little bit faint memory. Now, whatever you remember, whatever is there in your memory, is it not dependent on your attraction to that person? The more you are attached and attracted, the more it's strongly embedded in your memory. Is it not? So, our Vedas explain that in one particular life, if a person is so much attached to a certain house, to a certain family, depending on the intensity of the attachment, the person in the next life might remember and might not remember. And it is a blessing, according to our Vedic scriptures, it is a blessing that people, they don't remember their previous lives. Don't think that it would be so nice if I remember my previous life. No, this Deep Kapadia was miserable. And slowly now as he has grown up, the memory has faded away. But still he remembers that when he was 3 years old, he used to remember the details. Now he doesn't remember the details and all that. So it's a blessing that we don't remember. Otherwise, we would be miserable. We are already miserable thinking about this life. Kya kya hua mere saath? What to speak of remembering, you know, all from the previous life. Wo sab ko. So, depending on the intensity of the attachment which the soul has in a particular life with the family, with the house and all of that stuff, the remembrances, the memory is there. So again, now Dr. Ian Stevenson also, in that book which he has come out with, more than 2000 cases of past life memories and more are being added. In fact, his conclusion is most of the cases are from India. And why? Because Indian families have so much of, you know, affection and close-knit, you know, relationship. Whereas in the West, kisi ko padi nahi, koi mar gaya, ye ho, theek hai. Family means it's not so much existing over there. So that family attraction is most intense and strong in India. Therefore, most of these past life memory cases are from the land of India. So, this is another way by which these people from the scientific community are coming to terms that so, what is the connection between the previous body and this body? The soul. Again, the soul is the connection. So, we have some examples over here from his book, some pictures from his book. Might not be so clear, but I'll explain. So, here in this, the far left, this particular picture, you see the family and the child on the lap of this man. Are you able to see? The child on the lap. So that child, and behind on the wall you see there is a picture which is garlanded. So that's that picture of a woman. So that was the wife of this man who is holding the child, and the child remembers. So the wife has reborn as this child. So essentially he is holding his own wife on his lap from the previous life. So this is one case. And here in another, I can read for you. Nearly 25 years ago, Mainfully, that's the name of this lady, was walking past marketplace when 3-year-old Raghunath, he is reborn as Ahmed, shouted, "There goes my wife." So this gentleman, when he was 3 years old, he sees wife from his previous life, this lady, and shouts and calls for her. And again here, and when Manju was 2, she claimed to be reincarnation of not Krishna, God, but her name, Krishna. And narrated how she had drowned in the village well. She spends time with her mother in previous birth now and one from this birth. Ye dono. Ek pichle janam ki, ek is janam ki. Ye dono maa. Inke saath wo time bitati. So these are, you know, some of the pictures from Dr. Ian Stevenson's book about past life memories. So essentially what we have discussed is the 5 proofs trying to understand the existence of soul within our material body. Common sense, intuitive understanding, consciousness, which is a symptom, near-death experiences, and past life memory. Again, our friend has come who is asking this question. Can you show me that soul? Only then will I believe it in. Seeing is believing again. I'll tell you another, this is a real incident which took place many decades ago. There was an atheistic professor, a science professor, total atheist. And just imagine the combination, an atheist and a science professor, deadly combination. So what he would do, whenever he would start his science classes, he would, you know, explain about the, you know, subject matter, the scientific subject matter. And then towards the end, he would always take up the topic of the existence of God. And the students were literally fed up that every time, you know, at the end, he takes up and he would prove atheism. So this incident took place one time, you know, he, after his talk, after his scientific talk, then he had one of the students get up and he asked, "Get up." One student got up. The student knew what's coming now. Again, his stuff, you know, about God, how God doesn't exist, how soul doesn't exist and all. So the student got up and this professor is asking, "So you believe in God?" He said, "My parents believe." "Okay, your parents believe. So what is the definition of God according to your parents?" So he said, "Well, they always say that God is the supreme creator, he is our merciful father." "Okay, so these are the 2 definitions." Then he started addressing to the class. "So these are the 2 definitions of God according to him." He said, "No, my parents." He said, "Okay, according to your parents. That God is the supreme creator and he is also simultaneously the merciful father." So then this professor is asking the student, "Then is there evil in this world?" Like yesterday this question was asked. "Is there evil in this world?" And the student said, "Yes, I am seeing one." In his mind he said. So, "Is there evil in this world?" He said, "Yes, definitely there is evil in this world. So much evil in this world." So the professor said, "Now let's analyze the 2 definitions which this person gave. The 2 definitions of God which he gave, that God is the supreme creator, which means he has created evil also. So if he has created evil, how can he be simultaneously merciful father? Will a merciful father create evil for his children? So which means these 2 definitions of God which people give, that God is the supreme creator and God is also simultaneously merciful father is totally disproved when we see evil in this world. Everyone clapped, wow, our professor is a genius, you know, the way he refutes. So this was definitely a very valid refutation of these two definitions of God. And then he had another student get up. So now another student, he thought, ho gaya na abhi. Another student, he was asked to get up. And he asked, so, do you believe in God? Now after all this, what would he say? He said, sometimes I believe. You know, circumstantial. Sometimes I believe. That, okay, sometimes you believe. So, I teach you science. And in science, I am asking you to believe in things which you can perceive with your senses. So, I ask you, you believe in your God. Have you seen your God with your eyes? He said, no. Have you heard your God with your ears? No. Have you touched your God with your skin? Have you smelt your God? No. So which means, with none of your senses, you have never perceived your God which you say exists. So according to the testable protocol of the fundamentals of science and logic, my dear friends, we come to the conclusion that this God should not be existing because he cannot perceive with his given senses this God. Oh, everyone. Wonderful, wonderful. Started applauding. But then one student got up on his own and he said, my dear professor, can I take up your two arguments which you just put forth? And for the first time, one student had gathered the courage to confront this professor. He said, yes, what do you have to say? He said, I'll take the first argument which you took. You asked my friend, that what is the definition of God, and he said God is the supreme creator and all merciful, the father who is all merciful. And then you asked, is there evil in this world? That's how he refuted. So I asked you a question, my dear professor, you are a science professor. Is there anything called darkness according to science? And the professor thought for a while. He said, definitely there is darkness, otherwise what's night? So this student said, you are wrong, my dear professor. According to science, there is no darkness. Darkness, according to science, is defined as absence of light. Because you can measure heat and light, but you can never measure darkness. Can you give me a jar of dark, darker, darkest? But you can always measure heat and light. So according to science, darkness means absence of light. Similarly, what is evil? When divinity goes down, you see evil coming up. Evil doesn't have any existence in and itself, just like darkness, according to science, doesn't have any existence for itself. Whenever light goes down, you see darkness coming up. Similarly, when divine things goes down, you see evil things coming up. So God is not the creator of evil, but we, especially people like you, when they don't follow divine things, then you see evil things coming up. Now the entire classroom, wow, hamara bhi hai koi dikhane ke liye. They all started clapping like anything. Good. And the professor, he was also impressed. And then the professor, but what about my second one? My second argument, what do you have to say about that? And this student, he took the second argument. What was the second argument? He asked, have you had any sensory perception of your God with your given eyes, your nose, your skin, your whatever senses? So now the student, he turned to the classroom and he started addressing to the classroom. My dear students, my dear fellow students, how many of you have seen the brain of our professor? Everyone said unanimously, none of us. How many of you have touched his brain, smelt his brain, heard his brain? Everyone said, none of us. So therefore, according to the testable protocol of the fundamentals of science and logic, today we come to the conclusion that our dear professor should not be having any gray matter. any brains. You know who this student was? Albert Einstein. Later on, who became? Albert Einstein, who was ardent follower of Bhagavad Gita. Albert Einstein, who was reader of Bhagavad Gita. So herein, when we ask this question, I will believe only in those things which I see, I think that's not being scientific. Because according to science, now the atomic theories, according to science, you can't even see atom. You know, it's an assumption. And based on that assumption, you have the theories, you have atomic bombs and plants and all that. So, when we talk about seeing is believing, let's take some examples here. So, if I ask you, is there the rose essence in a rose flower? What would you say? You know rose essence? Is there rose essence in a rose flower? What would you say? Then to kahan se aayega? Rose essence, rose flower se to aayega. So there is rose essence in a rose flower. But when you look at a rose flower, dikhta hai? Kahin dikhta hai? Rose essence dikh raha hai kahin pe? Okay, let's go further. These are sesame seeds. Till. So the question is asked, is there oil in these sesame seeds? What would you say? But when you hold a sesame seed, kahin pe dikhta hai usme? Oil? No. But there is oil in the sesame seed. Is there butter in milk? Definitely. कहाँ से आता है butter? नहीं तो आसमान से तो नहीं टपकता. There is butter in milk. Is there jaggery in sugar cane? You know, good. Yes, there is. So now, when we are talking about science, now I am showing you these slides because, you know, one time, one science student from Bombay, he asked this question to one of our preachers. That same thing, you know, can you show me soul? If you show me soul, I'll shave up and join your Hare Krishna. So he was asked, this science student was asked this first question, that in physics, when you measure something, some length or breadth, do you use a certain instrument, a tool, like say a measuring tape, a vernier caliper or a measuring tape to measure the length and breadth of something. Okay. Now, in chemistry, if you want to understand the nature of a liquid, whether it is acidic or alkaline, what do you use? You use a litmus paper. Then, in biology, if you want to examine some like a hydra or amoeba, what do you use? A microscope. Now, if I ask you, my dear friends, are these tools or are these instruments interchangeable? If you want to measure length and breadth of something, can you use a microscope? No, microscope is used for examining something which is very microscopic. If you want to test the nature of a liquid, can you take a foot ruler and keep dipping? Uska kya acidic nature hai, alkaline nature hai, kya? No, you have to use a litmus paper. So now, when it comes to science, the instruments are not interchangeable if you want to know the nature of something. So why, when we talk about God or soul, we want to use the mundane instruments? So when this preacher was asked, the preacher said that just like your microscope cannot see, determine the length and breadth of something, similarly when you talk about soul, you cannot see your soul, see someone's soul using these mundane instruments. And then he pulled out his japamala. He said, this is my instrument with which I see. So there is a process. All the examples which we took of milk and butter and sugarcane and jaggery, rose and rose essence, etc. There is a process, you can't see right away, but there is a process by which you can extract that oil from sesame seeds. There is a process by which you can extract butter from milk. There is a process. Similarly, there is a process by which we can see the soul. And the process is when we practice the science of self-realization. आध्यात्मिक पथ को जब हम पालन करते हैं वो तरीका है जिसके द्वारा हम आत्मा का साक्षात्कार कर सकेंगे. सो श्रील प्रभुपाद ही यूज टू गिव दिस एग्जाम्पल दैट व्हेन वी टेक द बॉडी ही कंपेयर्स द बॉडी टू अ कार एंड यू सी यू नो लाइक वी हैव अ माउथ टू स्पीक आईज टू सी हार्ट टू पंप ब्लड लेग्स टू मूव सिमिलरली इन अ कार यू सी similar you know parallels you can draw. The mouth is compared to the horn, the headlights compared to the eyes, you know, the heart is compared to the radiator or the engine, and four wheels compared to the legs. So herein Srila Prabhupada used to give this example that you may have a sophisticated car, but what is the use of the car if there is no driver inside? You know, once I was asking this question, have you seen a car without a driver, you know, running? And one small child, you know, like we have some children here. So one small child, he said, yeah, Mr. India mein dekha tha main. So car, even though with all of its sophistication, there has to be a driver. Similarly, this body, which is compared to a machine, a car, the driver is the soul. So herein, what our Vedas, like Bhagavad Gita, what are they imploring upon us? We have to go beyond the anatomy, the physicality, and enter into the realm of metaphysicality or the soul. Herein, this is another doctor, professor of anatomy, Illinois College of Medicine, Chicago. So herein, he has also come with one analysis. That our human body contains mostly all these different chemicals, you know, the list which is given, you know, calcium, phosphate, potassium, sulfur, sodium, magnesium, iron, copper, iodine, and the quantity. One human body, the different kinds of chemicals. Why I am using this example? Because many from the scientific community, they say that we are simply bunch of chemicals. There is nothing more than the chemical composition which we have. There is nothing called soul and all that. We are just made of chemicals. So herein, this doctor, Harry Monson, he has analyzed that these are a bunch of chemicals which our human body is made up of. And the quantity of the chemicals which are there in one human body. So then, if we analyze it further, so biologically, if you take the market value of all the chemicals which your body is made up of, you know how much it comes to? You know, 1 ounce of calcium, 2 ounce of phosphate, this much ounce of sulfur. Go in the market and buy that much quantity of chemicals. Kitna? 100? Okay. Let's have a small exercise again. If I ask you this question, your best friend was riding a bicycle, met with an accident, the bicycle was in pieces, your friend was in pieces. Now, how much a bicycle costs? Nowadays, kitna hai? Average. 5,000. Wow. Acha, theek. We won't start a war over this now. Okay, 2,000. Huh? Chale? Everyone agrees? 2,000. So, 2,000 ki cycle aapka friend chala raha tha. Accident ho gaya. Cycle ke tukde ho gaye. Friend कि भी हड्डी पसलियां टूट गई. नाउ यू कम एट दैट एक्सीडेंट स्पॉट, हुम विल यू अटेंड टू फर्स्ट? फ्रेंड. रेट देखा, रेट. अकॉर्डिंग टू साइंस योर फ्रेंड इज वर्थ 110. साइकिल कितने का था? 2000. ओके, लेट्स गो फर्दर. योर फ्रेंड वॉज ऑन अ हार्ली डेविडसन. यू नो हार्ली डेविडसन बाइक कितने का था? हार्ली डेविडसन 1 lakh. 10 lakhs. सस्ता लेंगे सर. पल्सर, ठीक है. पल्सर कितने का है? पल्सर कितने का? 1 lakh. हाँ ठीक है, 1 lakh. सो ही वॉज राइडिंग दैट पल्सर. पल्सर एक्सीडेंट हो गया. पल्सर इज इन पीसेस. फ्रेंड ऑल्सो इन पीसेस. अभी ऑनेस्टली बताओ किसको अटेंड करेंगे? फ्रेंड. कम ऑन, यू डोंट हैव एनी बिजनेस सेंस. ओके, लेट्स गो फॉर. ही वॉज ड्राइविंग मर्सिडीज मे बैक. कितने का? रॉल्स रॉयस. लेट्स टेक रॉल्स रॉयस. कितने का है? 63 crores. नो 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 नो. रॉल्स रॉयस इन क्रोर्स. या ओके, वट एवर. 3 crores विल टेक. सो अगेन नाउ रॉल्स रॉयस इज इन पीसेज. योर फ्रेंड इज इन पीसेज. नाउ ऑनेस्टली प्लीज, हुम विल यू अटेंड टू? ओके, आवर फ्रेंड इज वेरी ऑनेस्ट. डिपेंडिंग ऑन हु द फ्रेंड इज. So why would you still attend to your friend when the chemical composition of the Rolls Royce, the market value of that is 3 crore and the chemical composition of your friend is only 110? That doesn't make any business sense. Aap log sab failure hai business mein if you are attending your friend. Why would you attend your friend? Now tell me. जान है. यस, देर इज समथिंग मोर देन जस्ट 110 वर्थ कॉम्पोजिशन ऑफ हिज केमिकल्स. यू नो, लाइक किसी को कोई इश्यू होता है, कोई बच्चा पैदा होता है, आप जाके बोलो कि मैं आपको 110 नहीं 111 रुपया दूंगा, बच्चा दे दो, 111 बार थप्पड़ मारेगा. साइंस के अनुसार तो वही है ना. नो माय डियर फ्रेंड्स, वी आर टॉकिंग समथिंग बियॉन्ड जस्ट. वी व्हेन वी थिंक दैट वी आर जस्ट बैग ऑफ केमिकल्स, दैट्स नॉट द केस. सो नाउ द कॉम्पोजिशन ऑफ द बॉडी विद एग्जाम्पल ऑफ अ 3-piece सूट इट इज गिवन. सो यू हैव द आउटर कोट. सो वी हैव द एक्सटर्नल ग्रोस बॉडी विच वी कैन सी, विच इज कंपेयर टू द आउटर कोट. So, according to Gita, it's composed of earth, water, fire, air and ether, panch mahabhut. Then inside the coat you have what? The shirt, which sometimes is not seen at all. The coat is covering it. So similarly, this gross body inside has the subtle body, which comprises of the mind, intelligence and false ego. And then you have the body which is wearing the shirt and the coat, which is compared to the soul. So the soul has the subtle body, which is mind, intelligence and ego, and the gross body, which is comprising of these 5 elements. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that even if the body is destroyed, which means the gross body, when it is destroyed, maybe, you know, for whatever reasons, as you see over here. So Krishna mentions, Nainam chintanti shastrani, Nainam dahati pavaka, na chainam kle deyantyapo, na soshayeti maruta. That the soul remains totally aloof. The soul cannot be killed by any weapon. The soul cannot be burnt by fire. The soul cannot be moistened by water. The soul cannot be withered by air or wind, whatever. The soul remains unchangeable. Therefore, it is called eternal. Whereas the body is subject to birth, old age, disease and death. Therefore, soul is an individual. Even if there are twins, they still have their individual physical bodies, they still have their individual subtle bodies, their thinking, their thought process, emotions, feelings, willing, desires, everything. So soul is an individual. Then, another way of trying to understand the existence of soul is trying to learn from the opposites. So, now again this is purely scientific, that according to science, if there is matter, there has to be antimatter. And then further on, if you take, if there is bliss, there has to be misery. Or if something which is temporary, just like this material body, there has to be something which is eternal. Something which is unconscious has to have something which is permanently conscious. So this is, according to science, learning from matter and antimatter, learning from the opposites. Soul also changes bodies. So Krishna explains in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara praptir dhirastatra namuhyati tatha dehantara. That just like we have, now we are talking about the science of reincarnation. Many times people ask, I don't believe in this stuff, you know, life after death, reincarnation. But according to science, we are reincarnating in this very life itself. What is reincarnation? The soul remains the same, the body changes. Dehantar. Deh ka antar. Wo hai punarjanam. To isi janam mein, हमारा देह अंतर अर्थात बदलता रहता है. एवरी 7 years द एंटायर सेल्युलर कॉम्पोजिशन ऑफ अवर बॉडी कंप्लीटली चेंजेस, विच मीन 7 years अगो दिस मॉडल विच आई हैव राइट नाउ, 7 years अगो इट वॉज कंप्लीटली डिफरेंट अकॉर्डिंग टू द सेल्युलर कॉम्पोजिशन. एवरी सेल हैज चेंज्ड इन द कोर्स ऑफ 7 years, विच मीन्स एवरी 7 years यू कीप ऑन रीइनकार्नेटिंग. If reincarnation is change of bodies, in this very life we had that childhood body, uska photo aap dikho, aap khud pehchan nahi paoge, mera hi photo hai. Mata pita ko batana, beta ye tera hi hai. Achha, mera hi hai. And then we keep, you know, from as this verse explains, that from childhood to youthhood to old age, and then when the body finishes, dies, the soul takes on to another body. So we see that how the changes of bodies which takes place from childhood to youthhood to old age. And then Bhagavad Gita explains, it enters the door of death and again comes out from the door of life, which means some other species. Can we switch off for a while this thing? I have a small, just a minute of a clipping to show you. Now of course, this is just some computer graphic, a small video which was sent to me. And this is just to put you in the consciousness that how there is one thing which remains the same, whereas the externals keep changing. So this is called morphing, if you know. In computer graphics, there is a term called morphing. So through this morphing, you will get an idea of how it's not just that the soul takes on to another human body after finishing of this human body, but also takes on to other, it can take on to other animal species, other different kinds of species, the soul. Krishna. So, just to give you a feel of how you could see that there was something which was constantly remaining, and you know, it was just the externals which were changing, and say from a human face to face of a goat or face of a cow or buffalo or like that. So that's how it happens. Right now you just saw in a minute all these changes. But the Bhagavad Gita and our scriptures explain that the soul, say in a human species, might live for 80-90 years. But according to the eternal time, it is just like how you see the changes taking place, you know, snap of a finger, you know, from this face to animal face, and then again a human face, and then like that. So beautiful face or ugly face or old face, something like that. So that's how now herein, as you see, that soul doesn't just change its bodies from one human being to another human being, but from the human species to animal, and from animal coming back into the human species. And therefore the human species are the rarest compared to the others. It's only after a very, very long span of time that the soul comes back into the human form of life. So when we are living, we have so much of strength, you know, you can lift weights and you can lift even people. Why? Because of the strength which the body gets the activation from what? The soul. But then the same body, the dead body, चार लोग चाहिए पांच लोग चाहिए उठाने के लिए, वही शरीर जो पांच लोगों को उठा सकता था जब उसके अंदर आत्मा था, अब आत्मा जाने के बाद पांच लोगों को उठाना पड़ता है. Are you understand? The soul has so much importance within when it's there in the body. This was one epitaph which was very interesting, which I found. I would share with you. You know, on a tomb. This is on a tomb written. Remember me as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I, as I am now, you shall be, so be prepared to follow me. Something, you know, very deep and interesting, but very much true. So, again, it's explained that our body, which is made up of matter, earth, water, fire and ether, it has the shape because the soul has a shape like that. Just like the example is given, you have gloves. So gloves, they get the shape because your fingers are shaped like that. So similarly, our body has a shape which we have right now because the soul has the shape. So it is the spirit which gives shape to the matter, not matter giving shape to the spirit. It's the other way around. So the next question is, okay, where does that soul reside then? Pranaish Chittam, Upanishads explain that the soul resides not in the heart, but in the region of the heart, from where the blood is being circulated. And just like, you know, since our birth, the heart is beating, is it not? Beech mein Sunday ko off lete hai? Nahin. 24/7, jab se hum paida hue, ye chal raha hai. Beech beech mein thoda jyada chalta hai. तो अब क्या हम इसको रोज जैसे मोबाइल को चार्जिंग पे लगाते, रात इसको रात को इसको चार्जिंग पे लगाते कल के लिए, कल थोड़ा ज्यादा काम कर रहे हैं ज्यादा चार्जिंग लगा. सो फ्रॉम वेयर इज द एक्टिवेशन टू द हार्ट कमिंग फ्रॉम? सो अवर वेदर्स एक्सप्लेन, इट्स द सोल विच इज सिचुएटेड इन द रीजन ऑफ द हार्ट गिव्स ऑल द एक्टिवेशन टू द हार्ट. या सो हार्ट ट्रांसप्लांट. I know that a common question about heart transplant. Okay.
A few slides back, you saw two twins having two different souls.
Hmm.
And you said that the soul resides at the, in the region of the heart.
Hmm.
Well, twins have, then twins have two souls, right?
Hmm.
What about the conjoined child having two minds but one heart? That does that mean they have both a single soul?
No, so this is an unusual case, Siamese twins you are talking about.
Yeah,
the Siamese twins. Yeah, so over there, even forget about those Siamese twins, but even right now, there are many souls within this one soul which we have. Like there are so many bacteria and viruses in our body, and those are living bacteria and viruses which has soul in it. But this is an unusual case. You want to comment on that?
I have undergone bypass operation thrice.
Okay.
And the doctor has cut open my heart from all sides and has never seen a soul.
No, but we have already established that, you know, soul is something which is so subtle. Yeah, yeah. We have already established that seeing is not believing. You know, on that particular point, that I showed so many slides that, you know, now if I ask you, okay, forget about the soul. If I ask you the same question, do you have mind?
Same thing. When you say mind.
Yeah, so there is so much going on in the name of mind, you know, the whole psychiatric department is there.
Mind is the feeler. If you are hurt in the foot,
yeah.
Yeah. Not from the heart.
Yeah, so that's what, no, we are not talking about that the soul is situated in the heart. Therefore, the soul is situated in the region of the heart, and the soul has its permeation through the consciousness. So what the example you are giving, that if my foot hurts, it hurts, I feel it, because the consciousness which the soul is spreading right through over there is present even in the foot. Through the consciousness.
I would rather say the soul exists everywhere, in every part of the body, from top to bottom, inside and outside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Between you and me.
No, see, herein we are not talking about who says what, we are talking about the Vedas. So the Vedas explain, just like you have sun. So sun is situated, but you see the sunshine is spread all over the globe. Now, in the morning, when you see the sunshine entering your room, it's not that the sun has to enter your room to lighten up your room. The sun is entering through the medium of the sunshine. Similarly, the soul is situated, and therefore it is such a powerful spiritual element that even though the soul is situated in the region of the heart, the soul is spread everywhere through its consciousness, through its energy. Just like sun is spread through its sunshine. So you are right. The soul is spread all through, but through its consciousness. And simultaneously, it has a localized place also where it is situated. So yes, in this case, these are unusual cases. Definitely, it's only if the heart is there, it's only one soul which is situated. But yes, according to the karma, if you have two individual personalities, then it could be that two individual souls are situated in one particular heart, the region of the heart. You know, that's the case. And as far as the heart surgery or heart transplant, that has nothing to do. Heart is just a physical component within our body. Yeah, and we are talking about soul, which is totally different.
When you say intellect, the brain has been cut open everywhere, the grays and whites have been examined, cut and seen through. Nobody has seen intellect. What you said about the professor.
Mm-hmm.
The intellect is not there to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
So where is the intellect?
No, no, you can't say that intellect is everywhere. Intellect is in my big toe also.
Yes.
See,
we are
talking about something which is subtle, which is experienced. Now, okay, if you are talking about that intellect is situated all over your body, then why even the psychiatrists, when they refer to the gray matter, which is a component which the intellect uses, and the gray matter has got very much to do with the IQ of a person.
But when you cut that,
and when you talk about gray matter, you are talking about something, we are talking about a location, you are not talking about, you know, just a silly big toe of someone. That okay, if you cut open the toe, then, you know, you are working upon someone's intelligence. No, the intellect has to do with a physical component also, and yet, as you say, that it has its subtle nature of being spread. And it's understood by its usage, it's understood by its feeling, it's understood by its expressions, and that's what the soul is. So according to our Vedic scriptures, both are true, that the soul is all pervading and also simultaneously it has a localized place from where it spreads its consciousness. Okay, now the next question is then, am I God? So it is explained. Yeah. In case of brain death. No, herein, whatever kind of death it is, whether it is brain death or whether it is, you know, through cancer or any kind of disease, death means the soul has left.
She must be talking about the coma. People are in coma.
About coma. Yeah, I understood what you are saying. Yeah, it's explained again in our scriptures that how our body has 9 holes. Navadwara pure dehi, Krishna mentions about that. And the soul, it definitely, it leaves. It is said that when the soul leaves from the upper holes of our body, it has to be auspicious. So that's a different subject matter. What you are saying has truth in it. But as far as your question of, you are asking about a person comatose. When he is in coma. See, the soul is there definitely, but the consciousness through which the soul is presenting itself is impeded for a while. Just like even anesthesia. So, for a while, you know, the consciousness which the soul is spreading through the blood circulation by some artificial means, it is impeded. So, it's not that the soul has left. You know, like we took the example of car. So the driver is there seated in the car, and sometimes he puts on the ignition and he might come out of the car. So the car is still on, but the driver is not there, and therefore the car cannot move, but the car is still on. Similarly, even if, like, even forget about comatose, this we are talking about near death experiences, out of body experiences, wherein the soul literally comes out of the body, but it still has its spiritual power of maintaining the activation of the body for a while. And, you know, that is why the soul has got that power, that spiritual power by which it can still maintain its existence, even though for a while it might be artificially impeded or it might be experiencing that out of body experience, things like that. Yeah, which means the faculty through which the soul, no. See, herein, if you are talking about a specific stage of someone in coma, you are talking about how artificially the presence of the soul was not being felt. The soul is there. But it's like, say now we are sitting in this room, all of a sudden the lights goes off and everything becomes dark. So we are still in the room, but we can't see each other. And then you bring back the light and then you can see. So that doesn't mean because you were not able to see that you are not existing in this room anymore. Huh? Like that. Okay, I was not expecting so many. Okay. Yeah. So which means the soul is present, you are saying. Yeah, yeah, same thing. Yeah, mukti. Mukti, or, mukti means, you know, self-realization, when you perfect your realization about the super self in yourself, that's called mukti, when you cut through. That's the goal of human form of life. To not get another material body is the goal of the human form of life. And going to the spiritual realm. Definitely. That's what it is. Yeah. Well, it's not like, again, you know, the same things, that there are circumstances, forget about yogic kriya, but there are circumstances even, not in a yogi, but a rogi. A rogi, clinically dead, and out-of-body experiences are going on. So, it's not a big deal. So, I just want to tell all of you, that even if for whatever reason, for a while the soul comes out, whether from a yogic point of view or from a rogic point of view, it's not a big deal. We are talking about the presence of soul when, whether it is a little outside or whether it is inside, we are talking about how to understand the presence of soul through its consciousness. And these are all exceptional cases which you are talking about, which, yes, depending on a person's ability, you know, through the yogic powers, or depending on someone's past life karma, which we'll be discussing tomorrow. What is that past life karma? Today we just discussed there is a past life. But then tomorrow we'll be discussing the past life karma, which makes sure that what kind of activity will go on in regards to the body and the soul, whether it comes out or stays and how long and all that stuff. See, now, according to Patanjali Sutra, that's called when the soul, as you know, our friend was mentioning, that sometimes the soul leaves through the eyes or through the nostrils or through the mouth or, you know, like that. But the Patanjali Sutra mentions that when a yogi reaches the perfection of yoga, then he has the soul come out from his Brahmarandhra, that is here. The Brahmarandhra is situated here. So when the soul bursts open from the Brahmarandhra, which is very, very rare, he achieves moksha. So yes, it's mentioned. Okay, so herein, a person might feel that, okay, if my soul is indestructible, and all, then am I God then? No, it's mentioned that we are not God, but apostrophe yes, we belong to God, and we can never become Bhagavan. We are always the Ansha. So, the difference between the soul and the super soul herein. Same like yesterday, the Devatas and Bhagavan, demigods and Krishna. So, we are Jivatmas, he is Paramatma. We are Anu, infinitesimal, and he is infinite. We are cognizant of just our own body, whereas he is cognizant of every one and everything. We are same in quality, not in quantity. And therefore, we can never become God. So what the plight of this material world is, that because the body gives us the immediate gratification, so you see people simply polishing the cage. This is a story of a king who receives as a gift a beautiful parrot in a golden cage. So he gives it to his grandmother to take care of. And the grandmother sees that the cage is more costlier than the parrot. Huh? So she always, every day she keeps polishing the cage, you know, golden cage. And never fed the parrot. So what happened then? The parrot over here, as you see, is... So therefore, the soul is starving within the body. When we see that the materialistic civilization is busy just polishing the outside cage, whilst the soul is starving within, What is the thing which the soul requires? The spiritual food. You know, devotion to God, chanting the holy names of the God, hearing about God and worshipping Him. This is the spiritual food which the soul needs for itself. So, in conclusion now, soul has to be realized. We can go on and on and on with so many different ifs and buts and questions, whether, where He exists, how He exists. I can give a 3-hour seminar on, jalebi. How jalebi looks and how jalebi is made and what is the taste and all that. Finally, what do you ask? Khane ke liye do na. So, how can you actually understand everything about that jalebi when you start? So, tasting that jalebi is analogous to, say, realizing our soul. Whereas everything else, we may keep on theorizing for ages and ages and ages. So, we have to realize. So, at the end, now, when we talk about our body, herein, I have a certain term, container versus content. So, now you have a golden container, just like over here you see, a golden container. But if the golden container has a rubbish in it as content, imagine, a golden container is used as a spittoon. Spittoon, thunkdan. So the container is outside very good looking. Now, when I take these personality development seminars, I ask this question that we are talking about the containers, the physical body. We are very much enamored by the celebrities who are so good looking and perfect physique and everything. So the containers are good looking, but what about the content? And then as against that, sometimes the container are not so good looking, but what about the content inside? Like Mother Teresa. Now Mother Teresa, externally, she was not like a Miss Universe kind of a beauty. But why is she so much revered and honored? Because of the content. The container was not like any other celebrity, but the content. So herein, we are talking about content means again the soul. So this small anecdote of a balloon seller who was selling some balloons. And a child, he purchased a red color balloon. And then he just released it and it went up in the sky. And then he told all of his friends that only buy red color balloon. Why? Because only red color balloons go up in the sky. So the question is asked, which color balloon will go up? What decides the balloon to go up? The helium inside. The helium inside decides, the color doesn't decide. It's the content again which decides whether the balloon will go up. Similarly, whether we will go up will not decide what is the color of our skin and how beautiful looking or how ugly looking we are. What will decide is the content inside. So, it is condition versus consciousness. The modern civilization is simply busy trying to improve the physical condition. Whereas our scriptures, they are trying to improve our consciousness. And this was something interesting, which some time ago I came across. 6 instructions given to the pencil. The inventor of the pencil. So it's something figurative, don't take it literally. So the inventor of the pencil, he gave 6 instructions to the pencil. Very interesting instructions. Kindly listen attentively. The first instruction which was given to the pencil was, after the pencil was invented by the inventor, your real value lies within you. That was the first instruction. The second instruction, only when that within comes without, can you be of any use. The third instruction was, for that within to come without, the process will be very painful. The fourth instruction was, only when you are in the hands of a proper writer Can you be impacted? The fifth instruction was, wherever you go, you will leave a mark behind you, either positive or negative. And the last instruction was, even if you commit mistakes, it can be erased and rewritten. So now, if we compare to the discussion which we have been having today, that yes, our real value lies within us. What is that? The soul. And only when that soul is, you know, unleashed, the power of that soul by self-realization, can be we of any use. And the process is quite painful right now, what's going on. Not very comfortable hearing such technical things about the science of self-realization, reincarnation and all that. So many different objections and controversies and queries and clarifications. So the process is the sharpening for the pencil, the sharpening process. And of course, you know, when it's in the hands of a proper writer, the proper guide knows, the guru knows, the mentor knows how to properly guide the person into the right direction. And yes, we might go here and there, commit mistakes, positive, negative, here and there. And the last instruction was that even if we commit those mistakes, still we have an eraser, which means the scriptures are there and by which we can rewrite. So these are the six instructions. Again, you can have it registered in your mind that the pencil is compared to the physical body and the lead inside is compared to the soul, which is the real value of the pencil. So similarly, science of self-realization is to understand the real value of what is within us rather than just getting enamored about what is without us. And that is the conclusion. And tomorrow is a very, very interesting session. If in case some of your friends who might have missed out on some of the sessions, please ask them to somehow make it tomorrow. Tomorrow is this question which we are going to take up. Okay, if I am eternal spirit soul, then why am I suffering? If I am part and parcel of supreme soul, then why is allowing me to suffer? Those questions that duniya banane wale kyon banayi aisi duniya, kya tere man mein samayi, and all that stuff. Why this world was made so miserable? Why am I suffering? Why bad things happening to me who is such a nice person? Or as we understood first day, the other question nowadays people are asking, why such bad people are having good times? Jaise mere ko ek SMS bheja tha ki kasab ko to biryani aur anna hazare ko jail, ye kya ho raha hai? So why it's happening all that? So we'll look into the answer to this very important questions. Why do bad things happen to good people? And tomorrow we shall understand, based on the Bhagavad Gita, the law of karma. Okay, so much we keep talking about karma. So what is that law of karma? Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much.